Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
We are Kayfabe, the People's Band. We are the only sports entertainment cover band. We are going to play all of your favorite wrestling theme songs from the golden ages of the 1980s all the way up to today. From all as many wrestling promotions that you love near and dear, from the NWA days, the WCW, to the WWF, or of course we know today is WWE.
Rated R Wrestling Podcast, non-stop action, interested, we got that, the Southwest Texan, they cruise, Rick the Mark and Mark says they them dudes, welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, non-stop action, interested, we got that, the Southwest Texan, they cruise, Rick the Mark and Mark says they them dudes, yo, it's your boy, they cruise, I'm out here making moves, how the hell can I lose when I'm the one that...
Yo, you know what day it is? It's that Thursday Night Delight. It's time for the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 with your host, your boy, the Southwest Texan, Day-Day Cruz. My brother Greg DeMar couldn't be here tonight, but as always, I got my brother Martez and my brother Coco T is going to be on the line. So what's going on, brothers, if you're on? What's going on?
Oh, nothing much, man. Just in the production seat. I know we got an awesome show tonight. Ready to get into whatever you all want to get into before the guests come on.
I'm super stoked for tonight. Tonight we have a triple threat show. That's why we're starting super early. We're starting a half hour early. If you want to be like TNT or TBS back in the day, we could have started at 6:05 p.m., baby. But anyway, nonetheless, we have the returning, we have a couple coming on tonight. That's the first for the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Like I said, we're always trying to change the game. We're always trying to flip the script. We have returning Lindsay Hendricks and her husband, Soda Pop Hendricks. We're going to talk to Lindsay about her glam stuff, and you know, now she's all elite. That's the great thing. We congratulate later her, you know what I'm saying? And then Soda Pop Hendricks, he has a lot of news that he wants to share. And then we have at 7 o'clock p.m. tonight, in 1 hour time, we have Mr. Mac Davis, the owner of Independent Wrestling Network, IWN. This man has, man, so many things going on right now, man. I don't know what to even think or what to ask the man, but we're going to elaborate and go on. And you know how we do it here? We shoot the shits and we don't script stuff. There's no gimmick in this place.
Oh, yeah, man. And Coco is with us now, but what a busy show that we got tonight. I'm interested to ask my man Soda Pop, where did that name come from? That's like one of the coolest names I've ever heard, man. So I do want to ask him that, or you can ask him that about his name.
Oh, no, feel free. You brought up that question. I wouldn't have even thought about that, to be honest. I wouldn't even thought about it. So, I mean, that's your question. You got this. And, man, just man, wrestling right now is Jesus Lord, just great right now. If you're one of them guys or one of them people, oh, I like AEW more than WWE because WWE does this or WWE does that. Man, ever since a couple weeks ago, I've always liked both sides of the thing because with AEW, you have long storytelling. You have long-term storytelling. And pro wrestling, and then you got the sports entertainment on the WWE side, which I don't mind anymore. You know what I mean? Just people got to enjoy both things. It's like an apple and an orange. You like both, but they got their different taste to it. They got their own different textures. And just wrestling in general right now is just off the chain.
For sure, for sure. Brother Coco is here, too. I don't know if we want to bring him on.
Oh, bring Brother Coco on. He's going to actually join us all tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, baby, what's happening? my good brother Greg, and it's do my ears deceive me? Good brother Montez, what's happening, Daddy? This is a Black Rat Couple T-Way founder and leader, Case Hate the People's Band. And yes, this is going to be a power pack show. I'm super excited. I'm happy as a clam on the sandy beaches of South Carolina, baby. What happened, y'all?
Nothing much. Brother Coco, welcome to the show as always, man. You're always a delight to come on to the show, man. You bring a little bit of that sauce, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
The sauce to the podcast.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, we couldn't ask for more, brother. And then Brother Montez, man, I'm happy you joined in tonight. We're going to have a jam-packed and fun show tonight.
For sure.
And Brother Montez, that's the hottest working man in all the business, Daddy. The brother got 4 or 5 jobs, and he still got room to spare. He's hard.
Hey, I'm surprised any of you guys are even still my friends, because it's like sometimes I'll be wondering. I hope they don't think I'm ignoring them, but I'll be really at work, and I can't pick up the phone or I can't do anything.
Listen, it don't stop Vincent Kennedy McMahon for being the great success that he is. He keeps your show rolling.
There you go.
Says,
hey, that's your boy, Montez. He's telling the truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, if he stayed on the phone talking to all his friends, he losing money out of his pocket. So we totally understand.
Yeah, buddy.
You know what happens? Brother Montez will eventually get back to it. He's going to need a secretary nowadays, because that's just how good it's going for him right now.
Well, bless. I think we all moving on up to the east side or to wherever.
Georgia,
I think we all moving.
Georgia.
Oh yeah.
So I gotta ask you guys, man. I know you guys didn't make the GCW. I'm going off track with this, but I know you guys didn't make it to the GCW versus Horror Slam show. But guys, don't blink your eyes, because Horror Slam versus GCW 3 is on the way in January 2022, and it's already a stacked card.
Wow. That's not like some serious, heavy stuff there. Good brother Day-Day, good brother Montez. I tell you, it's a wonderful time to be a wrestling fan, and I don't understand why people got to be so negative and nasty on the worldwide internet about what they don't like. And Brother Montez knows this very, very well. My pet peeve when it comes to wrestling, if it's a wrestling show
and
I don't watch, I don't talk about it. I ain't got nothing to say. I'm going to give it a chance, and if I don't like it, I just won't like it. But I'm not going to sit here and try to ruin the fun for everybody else that may like it and enjoy it. It's silly. So let's everybody have a cookie smile and enjoy wrestling. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, buddy.
And this is what pisses me off. Excuse my language. That, you know.
What? You said the P word? Woo! Uh-oh. It's hot.
That's a shame.
Brother,
you know, like you all say, people just can't enjoy it. You know, like, I don't know. There's a large section of fans. I don't even know if you want to call them fans. They complain. They whine. They like to create drama. They like to create situations that's negative, you know. That's one of the things that drive me crazy about some of these fans in today's age of wrestling. And quite frankly, some of these fans are making it hard to enjoy wrestling, especially on social media. I try not to be on there too much anymore, because it's just so negative. Like, this is supposed to be fun, you know. Don't get me wrong. I don't like AEW. I don't know if I ever will, but I don't have time.
Oh man!
Yeah.
Oh, you hurt my heart, my chest.
Hey man, we keeping it real on this show. It's not clicking for me. I watched it last night. Well, I watched the replay version of it, and it's just not clicking for me. I wish it was, but it's not clicking for me.
Oh baby, cowboy stuff is here, baby. Cowboy is era is here. I'm okay with that. What I've been saying a long time, Brother Montez, and our personal conversation. I kept saying, hey, you know what they need to do? Get that belt off that Kenny Omega as quickly as possible and wrap it around the waist of somebody like a Hangman and a Page if you're not going to give it to good brother Cody Rhodes. I've been saying that, and praise to God Almighty. They did it, Daddy. They finally did it. I think they can do some things with that champion, and maybe, just maybe we could see and stand and tolerate a Ryan Danielson, American Dragon title reign at some point or another. So, yeah, good spot to AEW.
They're definitely going to give Brian Danielson. When we say Daniel Bryan, because that's what we're used to, but Brian Danielson is definitely going to get that title run because Hangman Adam Page is going to hold the title for a short reign because he just had a kid. Brother Montez, you were right. That's why I hate social media sometimes, and I wish social media didn't poke his nose out on the wrestling business because they give you spoilers. Hangman Adam Page just had a kid, and they're going to give the title to Daniel Bryan. That's 100%. Because Hangman Adam Page, like I said, he just had a kid. So it's going to be like, I guess, probably right when he faces Bryan Danielson for the AEW championship that he's going to lose it. But after when he comes back, he's going to get another title and it's going to be a hefty one.
Awesome. Oh, that's awesome. But see, I hate that we even know all that, good brother Greg. Brother Day-Day. That's sad. You know what I'm saying? Well, we got to know all that, you know? That's what I don't like about wrestling.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like about wrestling nowadays because it's like when Tribute to the Truth was taped a month ago, people were putting it out on social media that they knew that Roman Reigns was going to beat Brock Lesnar at Crown Jewel or whatever pay-per-view they faced off at because Paul Heyman was still with Roman Reigns at the Tribute to the Truth show, which aired this past Saturday. So that's how you knew that Roman Reigns was not going to lose his championship. And then, like, when they do wrestling shows months ahead, they show who the champion is going to be. So you know not to watch the pay-per-views or not to watch Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown because you know who's going to win and you know who the champion's going to be, even though no matter who the contender it could be. It could be Andre Giant versus Roman Reigns, and they're going to show the championship graphics for Madison Square Garden 6 months later, and you know who's going to win. You think Andre the Giant, so hypothetically, would be Roman Reigns, but they make it out. Roman Reigns is the winner somehow, some way.
Yes, they just take the fun out of everything.
Yep, and I'm gonna take it in a different direction. You know, I don't like, you know, people right now, and part of me, I like it a little bit, but overall, I don't like it. But I don't like, for example, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. They're taking jabs at each other outside of WWE, whether it's on
outside
podcast,
of wrestling.
Yep, whether it's on podcast or news or a news, well, websites. You know, I don't like that. I don't want to know that you guys are beefing out, if it's a work or not. I just don't want to know that. Also, I don't want to know, like, when people get released from WWE, I don't like when they get on social media and all of a sudden it was a bad place to be and this, that, and the third. You know, that part is getting on my nerves. It could be a bad place to work, but if it was that bad, you would have quit a long time ago. So that part...
Hello. Right.
I don't want to hear, because I think I walked out of a job once, and it's because I didn't like it. So you always got the opportunity to leave. So I'm over that. Mm-hmm. I'm over that.
Yeah,
I get it. 100%.
If the well runs dry everywhere else, and if you down on your luck, WWE has been known to give new chances and fresh starts.
Yep.
You feel what I'm saying? So
yep.
I mean, just be cool because you might need a job one day. So you don't want to push too hard and be too nasty and vehement about your feelings against the WWE. Now, I can respect somebody like a CM Punk because he said, hey, I ain't going back there, and he stayed true to it. However, I know better. You don't ever say never in this here wrestling business. So even somebody like him is not immune to going back to the place that really made him a star. So with all that being said, just kind of going back to y'all point because I don't want to get off the subject. Wrestlers need to do a little bit better, be a little more classy. I mean, not be fake or phony or nothing like that, but just be careful about what you throw out there because you don't know how it may come back to you and you never know what's going to happen in your future because one day you're going to be short of a couple of meals a day and you're going to need somewhere. That's going to help you put food on your table, you feel what I'm saying? And a place like WWE is still that place, Daddy. So better not nobody get it twisted nor sleep on it because that is still the place.
For sure.
You know what? I want to say the same thing, but I'm like 50-50 with it. You know, AEW ain't been around but a cup of tea. They've been around a cup of tea. It's only been 3 years. It's only been 3 years.
Do that.
Well, 2 years.
Yeah, just but, 3 years, brother.
You know, you gotta think about this. You know, how do I say this without insulting anybody, man? A lot of these wrestlers nowadays don't aspire to go to WWE. WWE used to be the ones where people aspire to go to wrestling. You know what I'm saying? And WWE took a lot of these wrestlers. And, you know, look at how many talent they released this year. They released 64 wrestlers that are great talent that AEW grabbed a lot of them and made them main eventers. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they take these indie wrestlers. AEW take these indie wrestlers and make them homegrown stars. For example, Hangman Adam Page, you know what I mean, MJF. There's a lot of these wrestlers, such as Nick Gage. My boy Nick Gage made his debut in AEW this year. Who would have ever knew? I've known Nick Gage for the past 2 years, 3 years that I started this podcast. And, you know, I never thought myself that he would make it to AEW to go face one of the greatest, to go Chris Jericho in a death match on national television, which I recorded a lot of these death matches. I recorded one of his death matches and one of his regular matches. And I got to say, AEW is where a lot of these wrestlers are aspiring to be. You know what I'm saying? If they can make it to WWE, they're going to say, hey, why not? We're going to make our name on WWE television and possibly go to AEW. Even Impact is somewhere where a lot of these wrestlers are going. You know what I'm saying? Because they're given their creative control and they can be themselves instead of somebody that's coming out of a factory that's, you know what I'm saying, like an assembly line. You know what I'm saying? Vince McMahon doesn't know how to make homegrown talent such as a Stone Cold Steve Austin, such as a Rock, such as an Undertaker, such as a Kane. Them are megastars. Those were megastars in the Attitude Era of the wrestling business. And you don't have that no more.
Yes, sir. So, I mean, definitely a different time, a different era. I totally agree. And, yes, it does appear that way. I'm still going to say that because I'm going to stand by it. Even to a fault, I dare say. But anyone says that he don't know how to deal with homegrown talent, I disagree. It's just a matter of whatever the objective is. See, in that world, it's sports entertainment. So the objectives are different. The ideas are different. It's all about can you pull out what they're trying to pull out in you. You know, I mean, hey, my main man, Dustin Rhodes, was giving polka dot. Fair, yeah. He was already an established guy. But the whole point is they gave him polka dots and said, hey, do something with this. And it made it work.
And you know what?
We forgot about the
you
fact
gotta,
that he
okay.
was polka dots.
I agree with you on that, on the polka dot thing. He made it work because only Dusty Rhodes can make that kind of stuff work. But you got to look at it. He was established, a world champion in WCW, NWA, former United States champion in NWA. What did he do in WWE? Squat.
But hey, he did. They gave Saba, they gave Brother Tony Atlas an African gimmick, Saba Simba, and it didn't work. I'm not saying it was Tony Atlas' fault, but my point is, if he found a way to make it work and make it more convincing, who knows? Now, I'm not saying that's okay or whatever, but, you know, I didn't care for it too much because even me as a little fella, as little T-Wear, I knew that, wait a minute, that's Tony Atlas, David. You can't fool me on that. But anyway, to just kind of get back to the matter at hand, WWE's making some changes. I don't know what's going on. Some people say, oh, they're trying to sell the place off. I doubt that. That's Vince McMahon's baby. He ain't giving that baby up. He will die before
Hold
that up. Happens.
You know what? I kind of want to disagree on that, man, because not saying that he'll sell anywhere right now, but near the future, man, money talks and bullshit walks. When you're 70, almost 80 years old, I know he's still going as a monster, but, man, I can see it one day happening if he don't act. Because Shane McMahon is out of WWE. His contract expired this year. To me, I don't think Shane McMahon wants anything to do with the WWE anymore, because if you watch the playback when he returned in 2016, he left kind of for the same reasons. He left kind of for the same reasons, and that's why I think that Shane let his contract expire. He got enough money. He doesn't need money, and if he needs more money, he could take the money that he got build into another, not saying a wrestling company, but like in a somewhere to make him his income. And hey, he doesn't have to use the WWE to make the money. And it's just like Bryan Danielson. You know what I'm saying? When he left WWE, WWE didn't let him go. That's one thing a lot of people don't understand, and a lot of people don't think, is that Bryan Danielson left on his own terms, because WWE was going to let him flourish off under his same WWE contract, but go wrestle for New Japan, go wrestle in New Japan, go wrestle in AEW, go wrestle in Impact. And Bryan Danielson didn't want to do that. He wanted to go and be a pro wrestler, not an entertainer. Because if he was to go and wrestle in AEW or for WWE in AEW, you know, it would have been as an entertainer. It would have been entertainment instead of, you know, an actual pro wrestling match. Like when Hulk Hogan faced New Japan's champion back in the 80s. I don't get why Vince McMahon can't put his pride aside and be the real Forbidden Door. Be the real Forbidden Door. And stop letting Tony Khan trying to checkmate him and letting, you know what I'm saying he's a forbidden door when he's really not. I mean, I'm not knocking AEW because I watch AEW. I like AEW. I feel you good, Brother Daddy. But even with that being said, Daddy, as much as Brother Khan is picking up to all this new talent, let me tell you, it ain't moving the needle any faster or any further. You feel what I'm saying? They ain't doing everything perfect or everything right. This ain't 83 weeks, baby. I'm sorry. But Eric Bischoff ain't walking through that tunnel, through that door. So with that being said, they need to just work their program and do some stuff to make a little more sense. They got some good talent. They got some good wrestling. I watched the show last night. There was a couple of really, really good matches that I like. But we're not going to just sit here and act like they just go up in WWE tomorrow. That's the thing that the whole hardcore AEW fans need to realize. Don't get your hopes up too high for stuff like that. Let these people just do that. Everybody can just do their thing and be happy and eat, you know what I'm saying? All this trying to out-rule somebody, nah. It's just not going to happen because I'm telling you not. Y'all push Vincent Kennedy McMahon hard enough, and that brother's going to tell the cons, hey, look here, this is my world, not yours. How much?
Yep.
I'm gonna name my price. Yeah. I want it for this amount. I don't want this talent. I want this talent. So, if everybody be cool, you don't want to mess with the bull, cause you will get the horns at it. That 80-year-old bull, there, baby. He still got a lot left in the tank. So, just be careful. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
I agree. But dealing with right now.
Coco,
I agree. 100%. 100%. But I'm just saying, a lot of these wrestlers are not aspiring to be in WWE anymore. I'm not saying that WWE's not, you know, because, I mean, like I said, like John Moxley, before he became Dean Ambrose, John Moxley was always John Moxley. He went to WWE, became a watered-down John Moxley, Dean Ambrose. When he went to AEW, he's the hottest thing since everything when he went to AEW and became back to full John Moxley and not Dean Ambrose. You see what I mean?
Yeah, but he still has some success in WWE. Like, he was champion. He was an IC champion, United States champion. He was part of one of the greatest factions in recent memory. You know, I get what you're saying, Southwest Texan, but it's not like he was a scrub. It's not like they treated him like he was a piece of crap.
Exactly. Towards the end, they did. They let him on.
Oh, okay. I don't know too much about that, but I have to. We have to talk more about that because I don't know.
It's all good.
I
totally understand. I mean, yes, he got some stuff to work on because I want to see some more impactful. I mean, I guess I'm longing for a little bit of those attitude era days, the whole just the impact, the pop, and. And just the stuff that said, oh, I got to eat this stuff up every single week. We were dubbed over videotapes, Daddy. See, we telling our age now, brother. Videotape. Recording every Friday. Mama, please record SmackDown. Please record Monday Night Raw.
We can't miss it. We can't miss another day. We can't miss another Friday, another Monday. You feel what I'm saying? So they got to find a way to get back to that capturing that magic again. You know what I'm saying? That
okay.
Made us go nuts.
I feel you. Brother Coco, don't mean to cut you off, my good brother. But our featured guest for the evening is on the line, Mr. and Mrs. Hendricks, Mr. Soda Pop Hendricks and Mrs. Lindsay Hendricks, Ms. Glam Fam. Man, I'm excited to have her on tonight, and I'm ready to introduce her. Everybody on the Rated R, welcome back, Ms. Lindsay Hendricks, and welcome for the first time, Mr. Soda Pop Hendricks. What's going on, Lindsay?
Hey.
How you doing?
What's going on?
What's happening? Sister Hendricks, how you doing? Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm doing all right.
Now, guys,
awesome.
Mr. Hendricks, this is your first time. Lindsay, you're returning. Welcome back, and welcome, you guys. And, first off, congratulations, Lindsay, on becoming all elite with your glam thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy for you, and I know it's a dream come true for you.
It is. Thank you so much. I still can't believe it. It really happened, to be honest with you, and it happened so quick that I was like, is this real? Then all of a sudden I was there. So, yeah, I'm super excited.
Yeah, I seen the picture. You were at Rampage last week, and, man, you were doing your thing back there. I seen the picture that you were doing and doing all the makeup and stuff.
Absolutely. So I was at Rampage and Full Gear, did makeup, did hair,
oh, nice.
Nail grooming. Yeah, did the full nine. So it was super fun. It was like a super quick trip, but yet a long day, but yet I looked up and it was over, so...
Right. No, and I can imagine after you were doing all that, you were enjoying the show. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure it was exciting, and that's why time flew.
Absolutely. And then, like I said, we're just, you know, you're talking to so many people. You're doing so many things. They're prepping for the show. You know, there's gear. There's matches. There's just so much going on. So, like I said, you look up, and you're like, oh, wow, we're going to be here all day. You look up, and it's already 10 o'clock, and the day's over. So.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Hendricks, how's it going, man? Welcome to the show, man. I'm excited to have you on with your wife, and you guys are the first couple to actually come on to the show, so it's a first, and it's exciting.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, and it's such an honor.
No, it's an honor to have you guys on, because like I said, we had your wife on a few months back, and she's great, man. I can only imagine, man, that you're going to end up being all elite yourself pretty soon yourself.
Hell yeah.
We ain't going to think that far.
I can. I already know it.
I live my life one day at a time.
Oh, man. I understand that. But, you know, you're a great talent. I've been following you around for a while now on Facebook. And, man, you got matches on top of matches. And one of the matches that you do have is with former WWE Tag Team Champion and SWE Heavyweight Champion Charlie Haas. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, man, it's kind of such an honor and privilege just to be in the ring with Charlie. And, like, this match kind of really means a lot to me. You know, when I first started my wrestling career, I had the opportunity and the privilege to be in the ring with Charlie, but as a referee.
Okay,
so now,
okay, I understand.
You know, now I get to compete against him, and it's just an honor.
No, I totally agree on that, man, because Charlie Haas is one of the best professional wrestlers out there, man. And, I mean, WWE didn't do the thing with him, but SWE did. And you guys, man, I haven't heard about SWE in a minute, but I heard that you guys are doing that training camp at Mad Dog Wrestling Promotion.
Yeah, Dogtown Championship Wrestling. It's ran by Jazz and Rodney Mack.
Okay. Yeah, I seen that you guys were doing a little training over there, man. I wish I was in my home state of San Antonio. I'd be over there in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like the hottest, newest, up-and-coming promotion here in Texas, here in the South. We have a lot of the former SWE stars that have come over. We have a bunch of brand-new talent. We have a bunch of local talent. It's a super cool promotion in terms that, you know, not only do we have talent, but we have hair in the back. We have glam in the back. We have agents, we have coaching. We just have a lot of really amazing things that, you know, are coming up with this show. And the third show is going to be November 27th, Woodlawn Gym, San Antonio, Texas. So we're all just, like, really excited about it.
man. Like I said, I wish I could be down there, man, because San Antonio is actually my home state, my hometown. I was born over there on the west side in Bexar County. And, man, I haven't been there in years, but I would love to go and maybe somewhere next year and go meet you guys up there.
Yes, we have a ticket for you.
You got to come down, man. We got to get some tacos, especially if you're from the west side, man, the woods.
Oh, man, definitely, definitely. That's going to have to happen. I'm going to pack up the wife, and I'm going to pack up my newborn son,
yes.
And we're going to be heading out there then. Yeah, that sounds like a plan. That sounds like a plan. But, man, another thing I got to ask you is Charlie Haas, man, is that going to be for the title or is that going to be just a regular one-on-one non-title match?
No, it's just a one-on-one title match. You know, I'm really – yeah, it's a non-title match, so I'm really kind of working on myself and building myself. So I don't think I've quite earned that yet. So just this match is such a privilege, and I'm just really excited to be able to put everything that I've trained for and put it all out there on the line.
Yeah, I get you. Now, Lindsay, you said you was at Full Gear last Saturday. Which match did you enjoy the most, or which match did you think that stole the whole show?
Oh, such a hard one. Okay, so match I enjoyed the most was definitely Ty Conti and Britt. Just to, like, know them on, like, a personal level and to work with them behind the scenes and just to see the hard work and everything they've been working hard for, especially Ty Conti and what she's been kind of working for. It was really cool to see that come full circle and just see them kind of compete. And then, to be honest, I can't pick a favorite match just because I got to work with so many people backstage and just see all their hard work. So I think everything was my, you know, my absolute – that was definitely my favorite, but I thought all the matches were amazing, and I thought that it was in a really, really amazing pay-per-view, and I thought the fans really loved it a lot too.
Okay. Yeah, no, I definitely enjoyed it, and I was watching. But I have to say, man, my favorite match is that CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston. That was
yeah.
a banger right there, I have to say.
I agree.
That was my match.
It was some good stuff going on in this pay-per-view that I really enjoyed.
For sure. What did you think? I know you were – was you at last night's Dynamite or no?
No. So right now I'm going to be coming out and joining the team just because of my schedule and our schedule. We have four artists. We have three main artists and – actually, five artists. And then we'll be – other two of us will be rotating in temporarily right now just based on everyone's schedule.
Okay.
So I'm kind of going to be out there about once a month. For now, you know, things could definitely change, but definitely once a month. So sometimes I'll be at pay-per-view, sometimes I'll be at Dynamite, Darts, just kind of different things kind of going on in the future. But definitely March is going to be a busy month because the Jericho Cruise will be coming back. So definitely looking to be a part of that again. So, yeah, super excited.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, so I have to ask you guys, I mean, what did you guys think about Bryan Danielson's heel turn last night? If you guys were watching.
So I saw bits and pieces of it. So I actually trained on Wednesday night. So I came home really, 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 really late. So I caught a piece of it. And I think in order to really answer that, I kind of want to watch the full segment all over again.
How do you feel?
I watched. I actually like it. I've been watching Bryan Danielson since his Ring of Honor days back in the early 2000s. He actually faced Excalibur. I wasn't actually there, but I remember I know a lot of people that were there that night, and I remember them saying that match with him and Excalibur was really good. But I love heel Bryan Danielson. I mean, I like face Danielson, but I mean, the heel is where it's at. He could do both, but when he's a heel, he got the oomph to it, and when he's a heel, there's no stopping him.
I agree. I think the fans, I saw a lot of good feedback on Instagram today, so the fans are definitely digging it as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm actually one of them, and like I said, been watching him since before he made it on to the big time. Like I said, he wrestled Excalibur in Detroit, and one of my friends actually refereed and officiated that match, Alan Hennenberg. He's a good friend of mine, and I asked him about it. He's like, man, he's like, that was one match, and that I was excited to officiate, and he said it was a hell of a banger. So, I mean, I would like to actually see that match on AEW TV. I know Excalibur ain't going to come out of the announcer's table, but that would be one match I would like to see all over again.
Yeah, I think anybody would want to see that.
Oh yeah, for sure. So another thing is, who's your soda pop? Who you ever wrestled in Michigan?
In Michigan, no. So I've only wrestled in Texas, Arkansas, and Tennessee.
We're gonna have to get you booked over here in Michigan, because we got a lot of talent over here in Michigan. We got a lot of talent down here that I know you. I'll get it to the promoters over here, Rachel Green, Brian Wellington, Rivera, MPW. There's a whole lot of talent out here, man, from the Midwest. I don't know if you're familiar with MM3 Malcolm Monroe III. He actually wrestled all over in Texas. He's actually from Texas. But, man, I'm pretty sure you would have a banger with him. Alex Shelley's actually from over here. I'm pretty sure you know that. And he's going to be in town. He was actually in town last Saturday. Oh, shoot, that was the same day as the Full Gear pay-per-view, at the GCW pay-per-view over here in Southwest Detroit. Man, there's just a whole lot of talent I could see you facing. And the sky's the limit over here in Michigan for that.
Hey, man, I appreciate you just even saying that. Send over the info. We set it up.
And we need to go get jackets because we don't have any jackets.
Yeah, you know.
Uh-oh.
We don't got no jackets, no coat.
I went to Full Gear with no jacket, and everyone was like, where's your jacket? I'm like, I'm from Texas. You know, like, we have short sleeves on. Like,
we survive off hoodies year-round.
Like, year-round.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And like I said, it's been some years, but I know what you're talking about. Sweater's the most you're ever going to wear in Texas.
Absolutely. And I was not prepared. And so I'm leaving, and I look up, and everyone's like, oh, my God, it's snowing. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. I was not prepared.
Oh,
so
Lord.
All the ladies were like, you got to get a jacket this next round. I'm like, got it. I'm on it. Jacket. Got it.
Yeah, that's something you're going to need over here because it's about to get cold, and it's actually kind of snowing out here right now. I'm actually outside, and it's kind of snowing, and man, when it gets cold, but we get deep snow. Like last year, we got, man, like a foot of snow almost in Michigan.
Wow.
Well, we got
and
snow
it gets really
in Texas for the first time last year. Well, not for the first time, but
like snow.
We got we had it. We caught
years.
They say it's gonna happen again. So
I see that happening.
You know, we're not prepared for things like that. I just told you we don't even have jackets.
I make sure you guys have hot cocoa and jackets here when you guys get here, for sure.
Oh, you must
for
know
sure.
So we want some hot cocoa. You knew the Hendrixes.
I knew this. I'm a mind reader sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. But, yeah, no, for sure I'm going to have to get you guys out here, and I'm for sure I'm going to have to pack up my wife and my son to go out there.
Yay.
So we're going to have to swap trips sometime.
Oh, I'm in.
Come on,
we're
with
so
it.
In.
Oh, for sure, then. That's heard. Yeah, that's for sure. Now, my brother Montez and Coco on here, you guys got any questions for them?
You go first, brother Montez. Okay. So in a way, brother Soda Pop, now listen, this go with the black man here. I think you should change your name, brother, because, see, up here in Detroit, a Midwest thing, we don't refer to soda. I mean, we don't call pop soda. We don't even say soda
pop. Yeah,
you'll
call it
pop. That's right.
That's
soda
why he
pop
got the name Soda Pop. He got both for the best.
That's
he got both for the best words.
You call me whatever you want. You ain't got to call me soda. You can call me pop.
But he's up there, he's pop.
So
when
check
he's up
this
soda,
out. So check this out. Check this out, brother. Hear me out. When you come to the Detroit area and you wrestle your first wrestling show, you should refer to yourself as Pop Daddy Hendrix. And you will be
I'm Daddy Hendrix.
And carry a case of mango pop, baby. Peach flavor, grape flavor. Monkey pop. Just carry a box of Fago pop with you, baby. Hey, let me tell you, that'll get you over. So, anyway, got a question.
Hold
for
on, hold on.
Now, this is for both.
I need a manager. What's up?
That's right.
you got the mouth for it. You got the mouth for it. What's up?
Oh, baby, I talked it. I talked it like somebody can walk it. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, Daddy.
Well, come on then, because I'm walking.
But check this out. Check this
there
out.
There you
Daddy
go, Coco.
Philosophical question here for the Hendrixes. What, being that the black man is a musical genius, I'm a musician. If you guys were musicians, what would be your favorite instrument to play, and why is it the left-handed bass guitar?
You asking unique, hard questions.
The saxophone.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh.
I really like jazz. I think, like, jazz is really the base of all music.
Ooh.
So, like, the saxophone. I wanted to play the saxophone in middle school, but I got in it too late, so I couldn't. So it's always been a dream of mine.
There you go.
I
played the saxophone in high school.
I'm not as creative as him. I think I'm just going to go with piano, because I just think that when you listen, if you listen to someone play the piano, like, so growing up, my grandparents had a baby grand in their house, and just hearing just beautiful music come from the piano, I think is just so creative, and it just takes a special kind of mind to do that. And I like to compare that to makeup, because I feel like when we're creating these looks, you have to have such a beautiful and creative mind to bring those looks to life. So if I had to compare it, I'd say that the next closest thing I could pick would be the piano.
Excellent. That's a good one. But y'all missed the last part. I said, what was your favorite instrument and why is it the left-handed bass guitar? But that's okay. We'll go with it, though. We'll go with saxophone. We'll go with piano.
We are from.
Everybody still there?
So, there you go. My turn? You got something?
Yeah, quick question for Lindsay. Do you just focus on makeup, or do you do things like hair, nails, pedicures? Can you just tell me a little bit about that, all that you do?
So I do a little bit of everything. So I definitely do various forms of glam. So I can go do anything from like a soft glam to like those super, super dramatic, colorful looks. I can do FX makeup. I can do kind of stuff like the other artists in the show does with Darby, the painting, where you're doing like the etching and, you know, like the kind of skull looks, do all that. I also do hair. I do various forms of hair. I do a lot, not nails. No nails yet, but definitely the hair and makeup at all levels for sure.
Gotcha. Okay,
I might get into the nails because I'll be paying too much for these nails.
Fine. But I will tell y'all this, a little secret that a lot of people don't know is I cut my husband's hair. So my husband has a man bun mohawk, and before all this magic, of course, he has to get his hair cut, so I cut his hair. So he's the only male hair that I cut.
Okay. Now, you guys are, like I said, you guys are the first, you know, the first couple to come on to the show. Now, Soda Pop, I'm telling you, man, I believe that you're going to be all elite one day. And, Lindsay, you're going to already be backstage glamming it up, you know what I'm saying? Now, when Soda Pop makes it to that stage, will you be there on his side at ringside, or are you going to stay backstage with them?
The ladies are going to have to let me loose. They're going to have to let me loose, let me go watch it, and go support. But, you know, being at AEW has been the coolest thing, because everyone is so nice. Everyone was so welcoming, introduced themselves to me, were super supportive. Like, I feel like the glam squad wouldn't have any problem if I wanted to run out real quick and support the hubby and watch his match. But everyone, y'all, I really honestly can't even believe it, just how sweet and how supportive, how many times I heard, I'm so happy you're here, how people knew who I was that I thought would never have known who I was. I introduced myself to them. They're like, we already know who you are. We're happy to have you here. It was really an amazing place to be. So super, super grateful.
Nice. Shoot. Another thing is, like you know, you said you're going to be there once a month. I seen you do Camille from NWA Power. Now, are you doing NWA Power? Are you doing, like, everywhere else? Or where else are you doing the glam at?
Right now, I'm only focusing on a larger scale level, AEW, just because there's new dates and things like that coming out. On a smaller scale, I'm still doing things with local promotions like RCW, PSW, and of course, like I mentioned earlier, Dog Pound Championship Wrestling. But I'm always open to do more promotions and give my talents anywhere else. But on a larger scale, just AEW right now.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, because I seen you did Camille, and you did a great job on her also. Now,
that's my girl.
How long have you been doing? Man, I love her. She was on Wrestle Talk with the D with my boy Martez. What was it, like earlier this year?
Well, that was actually the beginning of the pandemic she came on. So, like, around
May
of the...
Okay, yeah.
You guys got to get her back. She's
so
awesome.
Oh, yes, she is. Yes, she is. I wasn't there, but I listened to it, and she is a great person. She's doing her thing in NWA, former NWA Women's Champion.
Yeah,
Did you do Thunder Rosa's makeup for Saturday?
I don't. Her and Jan. So Jan is a really amazing artist. She's the lead of AEW. She literally has come from, like she has a long career. She was with WWE, and now she's with AEW. I'm still new, so I'm still learning, but I think 90% of the time, Jan exclusively does her makeup because they have a really amazing relationship. So not yet, but probably in the future.
Okay. Yeah, Thunder Rosa is one of my favorites also. She lives out in San Antonio, I heard, also. So, I mean.
She does.
Man,
she does.
She's one of my favorites in AEW, even before AEW, but she was one of my favorites. She's got a different unto herself. I would like to actually see a heel turn from her.
That might be coming. I wouldn't be surprised.
Ooh. I hope so. She needs to because, I mean, the way she lost to Britt Baker, you know what I'm saying, for the AEW Women's Championship, I didn't like it, but I could see I would like to see her turn heel and actually win the championship. I know it would be good for her to win the championship as a face, but I would like to see her win the championship as a heel, in my own opinion.
I wouldn't be mad at that. I wouldn't be mad at that at all.
No, I agree with you 100%. Now, Soda Pop, how long have you been in the wrestling business, and how long were you training before you became a pro wrestler?
So, in the business, I've been in it for a couple of years. I'm actually a content creator. So, I started off doing, like, a lot of content and graphic design and stuff for, like, wrestling. So, I was really more of a socialite before anything. So, I knew a lot of guys on the inside from that. And then my coaches, Jazz and Rodney Mack, they decided to open up a school. And I've been training with them for about a year and some change now. And then I've started wrestling March of this year.
Okay. Man, that's funny that you say that because that's actually how before I started my podcast, was doing graphics for wrestling promotions out here. And I still do some of it. I do graphics for Horror Slam. I've done them for everybody, basically every promotion out here.
Yeah,
I've done the same difference. And it's actually a fun deal.
No, it's good. It's good because I could do it from anywhere, so it's just great.
No, I agree, and that's like I've done it on my phone. I've done it on my laptop, and people are like, man, how do you do this? And I do them quick. I don't take, you know what I'm saying, a long time. Like a lot of the promoters, are like, man, how'd you do it so quick? I was like, you're asking me. It's just a part of the work.
Yeah.
So, outside of wrestling, I'm gonna ask both of you guys as a couple. Outside of wrestling, what's your guys' favorite thing to do?
Ooh, I'll take this one. One of my favorite things that my husband does is he finds unique and creative dates for us to go on. So, like, for example, it was ironic, right? Like, right before Tiger King was a thing. I mean, literally before anybody had heard about it, a tiger sanctuary in Texas for us to do this, like, private event at, just him and me, where we had the whole sanctuary. And then come to find out, we learned all this stuff about Joe Exotic while we were up there, and then, boom, Tiger King comes out, right? But we did, like, a private tour of feedings and, you know, just experiencing these whole tigers. So, my husband's really big on, like, super creative and, like, fun dates for us to go on or fun trips to go on. So that's kind of our thing.
It's either that or we literally stuff our faces in town because we foodies, for real.
Oh, man. Man, when I head out there with my wife, man, we're about to have some fun because that's the same thing I like to do. I like to stuff my face so I can't stuff it anymore, man.
We eat at restaurants a lot, man. Like, we're foodies for real.
All right, so what's your guys' favorite food then?
So I think I think my wife's favorite food is the one she always asks me to cook all the time, which is chicken parmesan or Italian food.
Nice. Man, shoot. So it sounds like you're a chef then, huh?
He is. He is. He is the most amazing cook. He makes everything from scratch. He's so good at it. He cooks all the time. Like, it's hard to stay thin and be in shape when your husband's cooking for you all the time. So I just give that up.
I have to agree because I cook sometimes for my wife, but, I mean, not trying to be like that, but she's a chef. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the grill, I'm the man. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the grill, I know how to grill up a good steak or some chicken skewers or stuff like that. But when it comes to, like, on the stove, it's my wife. Like, my favorite thing from her is her macaroni or her chicken noodle soup. She knows how to cook a hell of a chicken noodle soup. I've never tasted chicken noodle soup better than her.
Tell me about your macaroni.
I got a famous macaroni.
Oh, man. When I go out there, I'm gonna have to take that offer.
I call it a dope mac and cheese.
The dope mac and cheese. Okay. So dope that you ain't gonna want to finish it, huh?
You find out. You probably finish it yourself.
There you go. Hell yeah. I'll be ready. Like I said, it's gonna be probably the middle of next year. But I'm for sure gonna want to make that trip. And I ain't been down to San Antonio in more than 15 years. I ain't been to San Antonio. We're going to definitely hit the west side. And I got my family, all my family's out there. So it's going to be hell of a good time.
Well, then you got to tell them to come out to the Woodlawn, man, on the 27th.
I'll make sure. And you know what? To be honest, my family loves wrestling just as much as I do. And they're the ones that actually got my uncle's the one that actually got me into wrestling, God rest his soul. But you know, my cousins are into it, so I'll make sure that happens.
Yep, 100%. Yep. Tell them to come by.
I got you, and then I'll make sure that I let you know who they are, too.
Yep, tell them. Tell them to come tell me while I'm at the table. We do, like, a meet and greet before the show.
I got you, 100%. 100%. Brother Coco, Brother Martez, you guys got anything else?
I just want to say thank you for coming on, and that's pretty much it.
Well, that's not all I got. My thing. So, I want to ask you guys. Now, one thing if you want to check out any of the times that we have in Michigan. You can check out my YouTube channel, Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313. We just had CCW versus Horror Slam pay-per-view. We had such talent as Kay Miguel, Mocking Row the Third. We had Rhino, we had Connor, we had everybody up there.
Dope, yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, man, we got a lot of talent, so make sure you check that out. Because like I said, I'm going to make sure I talk to all the promoters out here. We're going to get you guys out here.
Definitely.
Awesome. So is there anything you guys would like to... Oh, go ahead, Coco.
Yes, the black man would like to direct this last question to Sister Hendricks here. Miss Glam Bam, if you will. Now, I got to let you in on something here. My band, for the first time, we're making our world public debut. Next Saturday, Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to perform at a wrestling show, Mr. One Night Only. One Night Only Birthday Bash. And it's going to be on and popping. Now, my beautiful bride, the sensational Sweet Bennett, I call her the Khaleesi Kayfabe. She is Elizabeth, my Macho Man Randy Savage. And so you need to know, she's been doing her thing with makeup and she's creative. But you know what I would love one day? If we can get good old Sister Hendricks to take some time out of her busy schedule to maybe grace the face of the Khaleesi Kayfabe. How's that
sound? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Or better yet, maybe I can reach to the good brother player, Teddy Long, and maybe he can book us up a song at SWE or something like that. And perhaps then we can come to you, and you can do whatever you need to do on the Queen's face, because she believes in top-notch royalty when it comes to her makeup, because she's the fire singer and that fire bringer, you know what I'm saying? So what do you think? We need to make that happen. And sure, good brother Stutter Pop, or should I say Pop Daddy Hendrix, I'm going to have to bring you the finest case of Fago Pop. All the sort of flavors, baby. You're going to be a juggalo in no time, Daddy. You're going to drink all the juggalo juice, and you ain't going to be the same. You're going to want to move to the 313 after you get a sip of the delicious Fago Pop, baby. You ain't going to never call us on the
313.
You want to throw it
up there. Good question. Y'all got turkey legs up there?
Turkey legs. Daddy, we got turkey legs, lamb chops, pig chops. We got even better, we got Coney dogs up here, Daddy. Coney Island.
We got Coney Island on here.
That's right, brother. We got all that minstum and our thirst for you, brother. Detroit is quite the food haven, as quiet as it's kept. Oh, and because you be in the state of Michigan, this is definitely a Michigan thing, particularly at northern. Upper Michigan, or we call the UP, the Upper Peninsula, or the UP, we have something that's called pasties or pasties. It's an old little quick meal that the miners and the construction workers used to eat. So maybe one of these days we have to take you around to some places like that. I mean, you will love the great state of Michigan. It is a beautiful place, and you will love it from head to toe, top to bottom.
When it's not snowing.
If it's not snowing, absolutely. Or maybe because they're Southerners, that they want the novel experience of snowfall. We just got to get them some gloves and a coat, because after a while, it's going to get real. They're going to be like, you know, I should have bought me a jacket before I left San Antonio. So, you don't want to catch that smoke, if you will, when it gets real cold and bad up here. I mean, heck, the black man himself is trying to move and find me a brand new locale, because I'm a little over the weather. But until then, Cafe the People's Van is going to be rocking from Waterloo to Timbuktu, and we're going to be based right here in a good old city. But enough about me. I'm just looking forward to seeing you two fine people one of these days, and hopefully it will be because you are paying a ticket to see Cafe the People's Van one of these days. And so I wish you two the very best of luck, and God bless you both, because you sound like a lovely, fine couple with a great future ahead of them. So I'm real happy for you both.
God bless you.
Thank you.
So, guys, is there anything else you guys want to promote before we go?
November 27th, Dogtown Championship Wrestling. Be there.
Find us on social media. And at Soda Pop. You can find us there.
All right, guys. We appreciate you coming on. And I'll be talking to you guys after the show, so look out for my text message.
We will.
All right, guys, we appreciate you coming on, and you guys have a great night.
You too. Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Man. Two great people, humble people.
South people, man.
Gotta love them.
That's right. Southern hospitality, Daddy. Ain't nothing like it.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that, man. I'm going to tell you how small of a world we live in. Just a few days ago, before I found out who the other guest would be on your show, I was dealing with Sonus about content creation. And now he's on the show just ahead of me. So it's a small world, but I think we usually find that most creative people usually come together.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on and taking the time out of your busy schedule, because I know you're
man. Yeah, I actually I had to hang up the telephone on Teddy Long just before I got to you.
Oh, man. Brother Teddy, that's my man. That's the player. Shoot, if he wants to come on, he can come on again. He's more than welcome. He knows he's a former guest of the show, and he's always going to be – there's always an open spot for him. But I got to ask you, man, the IWN, man, that's – I've been paying attention for a while, and you guys are doing great things in that place, man. If you want to elaborate more on that, on the IWN and everything you guys are doing, man.
Absolutely. It's funny. I met the people that were associated with SWE in Texas about a year ago,
okay.
Maybe less, and Teddy was the general manager at that time. And
yeah,
the show that we went to was really the last big show they had, as I understand it, when things kind of went south. But we were there just trying to look at the promotion because we liked the design and the TV setup, which is more about what we were doing. It's hard to explain, but even to a lot of guys that are in the back, when you're shooting TV, it's different than performing in front of a hometown, just a house show crowd. And it has to be treated different, and you have to tell stories. And so that's where we wanted to go. Well, when things went south on SWE, Teddy was available, and he's right in the same state I am. And so I called Teddy and said, hey, would this be something you'd be interested in doing? Because I wasn't sure I wanted to be involved myself until he said he would. And he said yes right away. He was interested. And Teddy and I, we've known each other for a long time, and he's a super nice guy. But it's the first time I've had a chance to actually work under him and learn a lot of things that, you know, behind the scenes. And so it's been a lot of fun. And we've built, I think, IWN pretty much in the same style that SWE was going to be built, as far as, you know, the type of wrestling that you were going to see. You weren't going to see a lot of silly stuff. You're going to see hard-hitting, real wrestling matches, good versus bad, just white hat and black hat.
Oh, man, yeah. And that's something that I love is pro wrestling. I mean, I'm not trying to put anybody down, but sports entertainment is, you know what I'm saying, it's I can't say not my cup of tea, because you know what I'm saying, but pro wrestling is something I grew up on, and I just love pro wrestling. Hard, like you said, hard-hitting matches, you know, technical stuff, you know what I'm saying, not some watered-down stuff. But, I mean, another thing is IWN, man, is one day I'm going to have to hit out there. Oh, you guys are from Georgia. I got to hit my sister's from Georgia. So one day I have to hit out there too.
Yeah, Georgia's a great place for wrestling. It was one of the areas that kind of first opened up with independent wrestling after COVID. And we were testing the waters. At that time, I was working with Lariato Pro Wrestling, which is Doc Gallo's promotion. And we came out right after the COVID, limits were lifted. And our shows were just incredibly attended. I thought we'd be lucky to get 50 people at one of those shows. But instead, they were seeing amounts of 200, 300, 400 people.
Oh, wow, yeah. Those are nice crowds, man.
Yeah, Georgia fans, they just really get into, you know, their wrestling. It's kind of like football in Texas. You know, that's a big thing. High school football in Texas is huge, and wrestling in Georgia is huge.
No, for sure. That's for sure. And wrestling's big in Georgia. Like I said, my sister lives out there, and she loves wrestling herself. Now, the show that you guys had going on where you were teaming up with the Good Brothers themselves versus Exotic Youth, you also had Matt Cardona on and Brian Myers. Now, I have to ask you, have you paid attention to what Matt Cardona is doing on the deathmatch scene?
I did. I saw that match, and I had to look at it twice to make sure that was really him. It surprised the hell out of me. I didn't think he'd do a match like that, but it was really good.
Oh, yeah, it was really good. I watched it live. I seen him when he beat Nick Gage. I have not seen trash thrown in a ring or so much stuff thrown in a ring since Hulk Hogan turned heel and went to the NWO. Now, that was my favorite part, and I actually got to see Matt Cardona actually last Saturday when he faced Alex Shelley over here in Detroit at the GCW pay-per-view.
Wow. Yeah, he's a true professional. Even backstage, you know, at the last minute, our ring announcer needed to get an interview, and he was trying to get ready to go out, and he said, fine, and cut that promo in no time and got right back in his mind about what was going to happen next. True pro, very good entertainer. Yeah, you know, you had mentioned sports entertainment earlier, and I got to be honest with you. The sports entertainment, I'm not a big fan of myself. I like traditional old school wrestling, even, you know, some where it's just fists and people are fighting. But I appreciate the show business as well, because there needs to be a good blend of both. There needs to be some of that show biz, but it needs to be focused on the athleticism and the stories of the individuals.
I agree 100%. And that's one thing I like. You know what I'm saying? Is one thing I like about AEW is that they do the storytelling, they do the pro wrestling. You know, WWE is more of that spectacular, you know, stage, the spotlights and all that other television stuff where, you know, it's not my cup of tea anymore. You know what I'm saying? I used to be a WWE guy, but pro, like I said, pro wrestling is where it's at for me. Mm-hmm. Pro wrestling, like, I love indie shows. I stopped watching a lot of WWE when I started paying attention more to the independent scene, because the independent scene is where a lot of these wrestlers get to be themselves and do what they love, and that's the whole wrestling.
I relate it to, like, college football and the NFL. I love college football more than I like the NFL, because there's a little more freedom in the plays and what you can do. It's more of what I remember football being. You know, you get the NFL and suddenly you can't hit the quarterback anymore. Well, that's not football to me. There's contact in football. You know, they make it just where you can't even touch anybody. So wrestling is the same way. I believe that independent wrestling, like you said, is more entertaining. I don't watch WWE by any means. The only time I'll do it is if I see something online that catches my eye, I'll watch whatever angle or clip it may be to see if I like it. But more times than not, I'm bored by the WWE. I love what AEW is doing. They are a pretty good blend of old school and new school, and it feels like the Nitro era, which for most people, they remember the Nitro era. And so you got a little nostalgia in that wrestling and the presentation that draws people in. And I don't think that Vince McMahon with WWE ever really cared much about Southern fans. And, you know, he was always a Northern wrestling guy. And
sure,
I think that the Southern wrestling did. And I think there's a group of people, especially the Southerners, who they felt like they were left out. Like, our stars when we grew up didn't matter. They weren't real stars. I call BS on that. You know, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA. You're going to tell me those guys weren't stars just because they weren't in the WWE? I don't buy it. You know, so there's a bunch of people who feel the same way, and that's why AEW has the base that it has. They enjoy and embrace old school and the new school and let the fans kind of dictate where they go.
I agree with you on that, and that's what I was just telling my co-host today. He was bringing up when WWE made Dusty Rhodes wear them polka dots and all them other things, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he did his thing, but you know what I'm saying? He was already established as the NWA WCW champion, and they totally ruined Dusty Rhodes in his era in WWE. The same thing with Ric Flair, and that's why I agree with you about the AEW thing, because they let their wrestlers kind of be themselves, like a Darby Allin, or even, I don't know if you've seen Nick Gage go on to AEW to face Chris Jericho in a death match on live TV. And I on my podcast or my YouTube channel, I have a lot of the death matches. I have Nick Gage on my show or on my YouTube channel. And, man, I was excited to see Nick Gage on there. And they get a lot of these independent wrestlers that I know, and they're letting them be themselves, and they're letting them be homegrown talent, which WWE is not letting them do anymore, and they're not even interested in these independent wrestlers
which they, you know what I'm saying, they can't make megastars like they did a Stone Cold, a Rock, a Hulk Hogan, or any of those sorts. And now it's like they got to come out of a factory and come out kind of the same. And you know, there's no fun in that. There's no fun in that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I watch a little more AEW than I do. I don't even watch WWE like you said. If it caught my eye, I'll watch it. But if not, I'm watching AEW, Rampage, Dark, Dynamite, or I'm going to an independent show.
Well, see, I totally agree with, you know, your comment about the independent wrestlers. The biggest problem that WWE has made, I'll tell you what, let's go to the NXT as an example. NXT, back
okay.
when Hunter was running NXT, the original NXT, it was raw, it was good, it felt like old
yes.
school wrestling. They were telling stories. They built characters that got over to the point where they were selling out buildings. But then when Vince wanted to call them up to the big show, like Raw or SmackDown, he screwed them by changing their names or the type of personality that they were that got over and went from scratch. It was stupid. I never understood that. I'm not mad at Vince for doing what he did. I mean, his money, he can do it however he wants it. But it ruined those characters. If you go back and try to find how many people from NXT actually made a big name for themselves and not gotten trashed by stupid gimmicks and storylines, I don't know how many you can count.
No, yeah, for sure. And one thing I do got to say about that is the NXT of old is really where it was at. And the storytelling in AEW, like the long storytelling that I'm watching right now is the Adam Cole and the Kenny Omega. Now that Kenny Omega's taken off, he was telling the Young Bucks to hold it down, and Adam Cole said that he would. And he said, and Kenny Omega's like, I wasn't talking. I was talking to the Young Bucks. That's going to start a feud between Kenny Omega versus Adam Cole. And like you said, when Vince calls up these wrestlers to the main roster, changes their name or whatever, like when I heard when they were going to call up Adam Cole before he left, they were going to cut his hair, you know, make him Keith Lee's manager, which they messed up Keith Lee also, Bearcat Lee, whatever you wanted to call
yeah.
him. These guys came from the independent scene, made their name in the independents. Vince picked them up and like, hey, if they don't got a name that's from the WWE brand or slapped on their, you know what I'm saying, with the character they made, I'm going to let them go. And that's exactly what he did with both of them talents. When one could have went to Raw, Keith Lee could have stayed on Raw and been a monster heel or a monster person that could have been the champion for a while. And Adam Cole could have did the same on SmackDown, but they let him go.
Yeah, their decisions on how to do that kind of stuff baffles me. I understand from the business standpoint, he's got shareholders, he's got to make them money, so he's going to get as much as he can out of everybody. But when you have enough wrestlers out there, I mean, and people don't realize that what you see on TV is just a small sample of how many great talent is truly out there. And these talents are being seen on the independents that may never make it to the big guys, but they have every reason to be there. You know, it's just that they're not fitting the mold of what Vince wants, and you shouldn't look at wrestlers that way. To me, you should look at it as a wrestler as he's got a gimmick, he's designed it, he's built it, he is that person. And the best, in my opinion, the best performance you'll get out of that individual is if you let him be him or her. Let them
right.
be themselves. If you let them do that, they'll outshine any other character you give them because it's natural and they can feel it and they can react in the moment as they would if they were there.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Another question I got to ask you is, have you ever wrestled or been to the Michigan wrestling scene ever?
I have not. I've been to Michigan. This is in the days when in between – when I first started, then I broke my neck and had to leave for about a 10-year period. And during that time, I was doing some modeling. And so I was actually in Michigan for modeling, for doing things. And that's only because of wrestling. As I was wrestling, somebody had noticed some pictures being shown around, and I started getting offers to do some modeling stuff. And I flew all over the country doing that for a few years. And that grind is just about as hard as a grind I would imagine as being, you know, in the WWE up and down the road all the time. It the travel is just a pain. Living out of a suitcase is a pain. And you deal with all kinds of people that are basically, you know, the same. You got to kind of watch your back at all times.
Right, right. I agree. So my next question is, man, is the IWN open, say, like a forbidden door for Michigan and like Michigan talent to go over there, or would you ever come to Michigan to check out talent or wrestle in Michigan? Because we got a lot of talent out here that, man, that wrestled around this world, like I was telling the guest before, Malcolm Monroe III, MM3, The Process. He's a great talent. He puts on big matches, and man, he's faced big names. We got Alex Weir, Adam Wick. We got Atlas Hightower. We got a whole bunch of these guys out here that I would actually like to see go to IWN, because I see what kind of matches that you guys are putting out there, and those are pro wrestling matches, and that's what they are. They're top-tier talent in Michigan. And, man, I would love to see you, either you come out here and do some business, or them, you know what I'm saying, me send them your information for them to go out there.
It's funny that you say that, because I'll go back to when we visited SWE when they were still operating. One of the reasons we went there, IWN was already a thing that was going on behind the scenes at that point. And we were there scouting talent to see who we'd want to cross over between our two feds. That's what we were there for. We were trying to see how can we make this a working relationship between the two of us, kind of like so you can rotate talent, you know, from one organization to another like they did in the old days. You could bring in a hot talent, give them a run for a while, and then when, you know, the blow-off happens, you can sit them off to the side, they can go back over to Texas and work in Texas and vice versa. That way the workers keep working, and you have a working relationship with surprise people showing up from time to time that fans don't get to see. And it's more, you know, sometimes you can even bring in a bigger name that can go from promotion to promotion. Rodney Mack over in right there in Texas. They were talking about him earlier. Dog Pound. Dog Pound is another place that, you know, I seriously would like to see us get a working relationship with Rodney Mack, and he knows that. I've thrown it out there already. And I think that he sees what I see. It's a chance to share talent that people may not otherwise get to see, because, like I said earlier, there are a ton of great wrestlers out there, but they can't get out unless people are willing to pay for them. And you've got to move them around the country so more and more people can see them. That more exposure they get, the better the chances they might hit the big time. But, again, your independent shows, to me, for the dollar, is much better than what you're going to pay to go see WWE. It just is. Now, AEW is another great place to go and watch a live show because it's fan-friendly. And without those fans, you have absolutely nothing. And, you know, you can sell all the toys you want, make all the different shows you want, and get all the sponsorships you want because you might have the biggest company. But the biggest company in the world can't fight fans who don't listen or watch.
Right, right. I agree with you on that. And that's talking about, you know what I'm saying, crossover talents and crossing over brands and stuff like that, man. I would love to get you a hold of some of the Michigan promotions out here because, like I said, we got a lot of, you know, a lot of talent out here. And we just had a TCW versus...
I'm sorry. I was going to say that one of the things with IWN, our name is Independent Wrestling Network. The reason for that is we designed the IWN to be a place where other federations, other indie groups can share content on the Independent Wrestling Network. So there are things coming down the line that will make more sense as we get into 2022. We've been looking forward for 2022. I'm hoping nothing happens COVID-wise or anything else. I'm knocking on wood right now. Because 2022 could be an incredible year for the Independent Wrestling Network. As you mentioned earlier, we had a crossover show at our last show. Myself with the Good Brothers, Doc Gallows, and Carl Anderson went up against a hot new heel faction in Georgia. I wouldn't say new. They've really been around for about a year or so, but they're called Exotic Youth. And I've had some problems with them, and The problems got to the point where I called in a favor with Doc, and Doc agreed to bring Carl and allowed me the opportunity to help them kick exotic youth ass. So it was an enjoyable night. But we crossed that promotion, and he has Lariato. We have IWN, and you even see in the local scene, because we share a lot of the same areas, we're blending each other because we know we can help one another drive up business. It's not so much that cutthroat days where, you know, if you're in this area, you can't run any, you know, you're not allowed to run anywhere around us. You know, that's BS. You know, this is different now. You know, who draws? That's what matters. And if you work together, you might find out you both can make a lot of money, maybe even more than when you're doing it just by yourself.
I agree. It's just like our home promotion over here is Horse. Well, you know, my home promotion is Horse Slam. And I don't know, are you familiar with the GCW?
I am.
Yes. So they did a crossover show like you were talking about last Saturday. Last Friday. They did a Horse Slam versus GCW Part 2. Their first one was in the summertime, but the second one was last Friday. And, man, I could see the IWN and Horse Slam doing some shows because they got the Horse Slam versus GCW 3 coming in January 2022, and it's already a stacked card. They got matches going. They're going to have Slack. They're going to have – are you familiar with the 440?
I'm not. You know, I'll say that. I'm horrible on names of independent guys right now because I have to see them, and I see so many. I can't keep certain names in my mind unless they really stick out, and that's only because of something they may do, or it's easy for me to remember, to be honest.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, no, they got Ricky Shane Page, Gregory Irons, the Bev. They got those people, but I mean, that man, that's one actually faction that I could see going down to IWN and facing you and the Good Brothers, because them guys are talented. And also Schlack. Schlack is a guy. He's a monster, and he'll eat a light tube with his own tube. Well, his two front teeth are missing, but the rest of his teeth he can eat it with.
Okay. Tell me this guy's name again, because I heard him earlier, and he had me in stitches.
Schlack. Oh, you're talking about the guy on the show earlier, my brother Coco. You here, Coco? You still here, brother?
Damn, we lost Coco.
No? We lost Coco. Let me see if I
can. Yes, sir.
There you go.
Coco T-Wass here. Good brother Mac, how you doing, sir? So nice to meet you, man. It's an
brother,
honor.
It's so good to hear
honor.
You.
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I mean, I'm humbled to even know that you even want to meet little old me. Black man, Coco T-Wass, founder of the K-Fade, the people of the band. In the good old Motown Detroit, Michigan. Thank you, sir. I'm honored and humbled. So nice to meet you.
Hey, it's great to meet you. And I got to tell you, probably one of the most I usually judge people when it comes to wrestling because I see so much stuff come in, have to look at tapes or I shouldn't say tapes, at links of, you know, some of the matches people are doing. And I always look for something that catches my attention almost immediately. And that did. It was like, this guy – he needs to be, I don't know what exactly your background, but he deserves to be doing a lot more than he's doing because he's so natural.
Well, sir, thank you so much. Let me tell you this. If I can coin the phrase with a tear in my eye, brother, I'm so humbled that you even think that there's a place for me in this wrestling business. But I just got to say, out of pure humility, the black man is needed in the music world, because K-Fade, the people's band, we plan on playing everywhere from Waterloo to Timbuktu, brother. So come next Saturday, we got ourselves a show up here in New Baltimore, Michigan, from way out yonder. We're going to perform for a progressive birthday bash. It's called the One Night Only Birthday Bash, and we're going to play some of all the favorites that people love, they grew up listening to. And so we just doing the thing. We made our first ever debut on July the 10th. It was on me and my CEO, we happen to have the same birthday, just a mere coincidence. CEO Antoine Davenport, through his 40th birthday bash, and he said, Brother Coco, listen, if there was ever time for y'all to debut this band, it would be for my birthday bash. I'm turning the big 4-0. And so, of course, I said, hey, it's my birthday, too, so why not? Let's make it a double affair. And we did just that with Brother Mac. And, man, let me tell you, the crowd well received it. We had people in my backyard, some 30, 40, 50, 1,000 and a half people. We squeezed them back there. COVID regulation, my toenail. And we did the thing. We had a ball. We had some independent wrestlers come through. They said, hey, we want to be a part of this. We want to see what you're about. And they enjoyed every bit of it. And all my cousins and them happened to show up, too. So we had a blast. So with that being said, here we are several months later. Next week, Thanksgiving weekend, baby. After everybody gets through eating their turkey and their mashed potatoes and their sweet potatoes and their pumpkin pie, we going to get on the stage, baby. That's right. And we going to play and we going to slay. You know what I'm saying? We going to move and we going to groove. We going to eradicate egos. We going to regress the rheumatoid and we going to reverse the curse with the sound of kayfabe, baby. Playing all your favorite. What's your favorite theme song, Good Brother Matt?
I tell you, there's so many great songs out there. I'm more about the instruments. You know what I'm saying? I like a good instrument.
Right.
Somebody knows how to play one. And I mean, in your case, like I'm sure you enjoy a good instrument. But if it's not the bass, now I don't know what could be better. But what's your favorite instrument?
Well, see, goodness gracious, you're spoiling my number one that I ever began. Oh, you's a spoiler, Daddy. You's a spoiler. Stay away from the dirt sheets, good brother Matt. You messing up a good thing here. We just got through talking about how the wrestling fans mess up every wrestling because they want to be the smartest person in the room. See, brother Matt, you're a smart man, but you don't strike me as trying to be the smartest person in the room or even on the phone, you know what I'm saying? But with that being said, allow me to ask that question to you.
Sure.
If you were a musician, what's your favorite instrument and why is it the left-handed bass guitar, good brother Mac? Tell me.
It is. Are you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
The blues harmonica.
Oh,
man.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, that's some soul right there. See, yeah, good brother Danny, good brother Montez, y'all need to keep up with this brother. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to soul. And ain't nothing soulful like a good old harmonica, baby. And so
you damn right.
That's right. Now, brother Matt, the black man called for see what happens to play the left-handed bass guitar. Not just the right, but the left. Because I throws them off when they see me on the left-handed bass guitar. They don't see it coming or going. So I love and appreciate the fact that you are a fan of music. You appreciate good musical instruments. So, yeah, the brothers, that's what we're doing here. And now, I mean, hey, what you was talking about earlier, brother Solar Pop Hendrix, or as I dubbed him, Pop Daddy Hendrix, he said, hey, he could be my manager. So you never know. I might have something brewing in the works in the future. You just never know, baby, because, hey, all you got to do is just open your mouth, and doors are open. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you got a fan in me, I can tell you that. So I'll be keeping up with you.
Thank you. Well, hey, I tell you what, wherever you guys are at, maybe sometime in the immediate future or not too distant future, perhaps you might want to book KFA's the People's Band to come and bless your show with a couple of tunes here and there, you know what I'm saying? It will be a whole lot of fun because this band, KFA, we on the road, Daddy. We moving.
Well, where's your at? I mean, do you have a website or a Facebook page? Name
yes, sir. Yes.
Social media.
Well, just go on. Here's what you do. It's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Kayfabe the People's Band. KAYFABE. Put a colon. Put a space right there. All in one word.
I'm confused. Did he say KY? What did he say?
K-A-Y. K-A-Y.
I'm sorry.
S-A-B-E.
Oh,
K-Fabe.
I got you now. Okay, I got you.
There we go.
You said.
That's all right, brother. That's all right. K-Fabe. Colon. The People's Band. The People's Band is one word. T-H-E. T-P-L-F. B-A-N-D. That's right. That's right, Daddy. And we going to make it work, and we going to make it hurt. You know what I'm saying? Make it move and groove with the sound and all that. Good Brother Danny and good Brother Marcel can tell you about it because they were witnesses. So feel free to look up on the Facebook and the Twitter, and I'll even send you a link to YouTube to show you what we did just starting out. I mean, it was a rough draft of what we were preparing for. But let me tell you what we're going to do next Saturday. It's going
to
be a
There is no time. No, I don't mean to interrupt, but there's no time better than now. How about a little free show?
Awesome. That sounds like a plan
right.
to me. Yes, sir.
No. Yes, I mean, I want to hear you give me a sample of some of your work.
Oh, you mean like
he
right
wants
now?
To hear it now, Coco.
I want to hear you
oh,
right now,
brother. You got to understand here, kayfabe is not a single act, good brother Mac. It's a whole band. It's a whole experience. What I'm going to have to do is send you. I'm going to send you some stuff that I do, and you can check out on my page a little bit of content here and there that I throw in. But let me tell you, this has been 4 years in the making. 4 years a black man has been in the lab with CEO Antoine Davenport, and we're trying to figure out what we going to do and how we going to do it and et cetera. But we got a little something to show you. So if I can find you on your you are IWN.
I'll send you the link, Coco. I'll send you the link.
There
I got you, brother.
Yeah, you'll shoot the link, and anybody else wants to find me, it's at Mad Mac Davis on all social media.
Mad Mac. Oh, I like the sound of that. Now, listen, Brother Mac, when you come up here to Detroit, try to set up a couple little roots up in here. Maybe do a little business up here in the good old 313. And when you do, get on the microphone. Get on the screen. Somebody's camera phone. And say, my name ain't no longer Mad Mac Davis. Just call me Mr. Mac B-Wit Daddy. That's a Detroit thing right there. We can call you Mr. Mac N. B-Wit. You know what I'm saying? That'd be your whole name, Mac N. B-Wit. You're messing up.
This guy's a nut.
That's Coco for you, Mr. Mac. That's Mr. Coco.
Coco is just incredible, buddy. I mean, I mean that seriously. Just great. I don't know what I can say on the show, so I'm trying to limit what I say. But great stuff.
No, this
great
is
stuff.
This is rated R. You say whatever you want, Mr. Mac. You say whatever
Man,
you want. This is rated R.
Shit. That is great shit, then.
That's such great
shit. I haven't been that entertained
oh.
in a long time, and this guy is just hilarious.
Oh, well, let me tell you, sir. You ain't seen nothing yet. See, you got to meet the rest of the band.
I believe that.
Particularly the Miss Elizabeth to my Macho Man Randy Savage, the Brown Sugar Sapphire to my American Dream Dustin Rhodes. I'm talking about my bride. She's a fire singer, the fire bringer, the sensational Sweet Dennis. She's phenomenal, and she's a world all to herself, and she's royalty. She demands a royal individual interest every time we perform somewhere. It can't
yeah,
be
baby.
No way but her way. So I, as a black man, as a leader, I have to indulge just for a little bit. As a matter of fact, hold on 1 second. I got a little special surprise for y'all.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on 1 second. I got a little special surprise for y'all real quick. Come on, mama. Come
yeah.
on, mama. Give me
we got
second.
The queen on the line.
The sensational one. We did it. Now, y'all got a mind now. She wasn't prepared, so she might not be in the best of mood. Although, good brother Daddy, she really likes you. You've been elevated from peasant to servant, okay? You and good brother Greg.
Oh, yeah,
so y'all
baby.
In good graces. But the rest of
it's
y'all
all from the rest to be in the best.
Dad, she likes you, too. But hold on 1 second. I need you to meet Brother Mac, my dear, and greet him in the best way that you know how, Mama. Hold on 1 second.
You want me to greet a peasant? They should be greeting me. Why are they? What, where's the fanfare? Where's the roses? Why are they? Why aren't they prepared for me? Hmm?
I'm more prepared than you can imagine, darling.
Who's that? Who's speaking to the queen?
This is one of your peasants, I suppose.
Yeah, all peasants. except for the servants that are my servants, Greg, Day Day, and Marte. They are my servants. But you, sir, are.
Yes, we are.
And you shall address me as the Queen, as Her Majesty, as Her Royal Highness.
I hear
silence.
Well, I'd rather not address you. I'd rather undress you. So, you know, but you're married already, so it's too late today.
I can't be here. I can't do this.
Sorry, gentlemen. I caught her at a bad. Now listen, now she's royalty, Brother Matt. You can't say things like that. You know that offends her. You know she's got goons from all over the place, from down under and from the back streets of USA. Come on now, you gotta be a little more decent and appropriate with her now. But anyway, that's a little bit of what you see and what you get with the band. And let me tell you, if she gets up on that mic and starts singing and start bringing, the folks are taking the back, you know what I'm saying? And then we got people on the guitar like good brother. We call him Michael P. Funk because he's old school. But he's still teaching people new tricks, you know what I'm saying? And then we got on the drum, he's what we call a knockout artist, you know what I'm saying? The champion of rudiment and drum solos, come up, Mr. Timbo Slice. And then, of course, you got your shooter. The ace that plays the bass, Black Man Coco P. Ware. And every now and again, I brings in, on special occasions, the K-Say, Tad King Tap in the Philippines, when they can come through, because they too busy out there slaying and playing on the tickling and marvelous. So, yeah, K-Say is more than just a band. It's a whole army. It's a whole squad, brothers. And let me tell you now, your plate going to be full and your ears are going to be delighted when we cut them sounds on, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of who we are. That's our mentor. But, hey, enough about me, good Brother Mac, or as I like to call you, Brother Mac N. B. Wick. Tell us a little more about IWN, because now I'm going to be looking y'all up even more, paying more attention to what y'all got to offer, because I'm really excited about what you got going and what I'm hearing.
I appreciate it, Coco. I got to tell you, we have a lot coming up in 2022. We start back up in February, and I think you're going to see a lot of surprises come out of IWN. And if you want to find us online, go to IWNWrestling.com. And also, if you go to my website or my webpage, I'm sorry, my webpage, I can't say it right. Either way, I'm an old man, so it's hard sometimes to say that stuff. But on my Facebook page, you'll find a lot of those matches, including the match that I just had with the Good Brothers against Exotic Youth. It's on my page right now, and it's up for everyone to view.
Oh, I'm going to have to. I'm going to check that out after this.
Now, I will say this, too. Teddy and I, Teddy Long, we both work together at IWN. We're the kind of the guys behind the scenes coming up with the storylines and where we want things to go. And 2022 is something that we were planning, and we have a lot of great stories and storylines that are going to pop up that I think are really going to grab people's attention.
Awesome. That sounds like some good stuff right there. That's the money right there, baby. That's going to put the in the seats.
Anytime you have Teddy Long with the knowledge that he has in this wrestling business and you listen and try to apply what he's saying to the talent, and if the talent listens to what we offer and what we try to tell them, I think that they will grow because Teddy, his time in the wrestling business is invaluable. And I don't think people realize how much Teddy has done in this business. And he's worked from the bottom rung of the ladder to, you know, setting up the ring, traveling around, to being the longest reigning general manager in SmackDown history. And that's a lot to say, especially considering he was a black man during a time the business probably was not very friendly to them. And he still beat their ass and was able to show them that it doesn't matter what color I am or what I do, I'm Teddy Long and I'm good, period.
Yes, sir.
Agree.
Good brother.
I agree with that 100%.
That's right.
Well, I remember
he got all that managing Doom.
Oh, yeah. Look, I remember going ringside at one of the matches when he was managing Doom, and Butch Reed got in a verbal argument with a redneck right at the ringside. I thought that Butch Reed legitimately was going to kill him right there because the man was saying things that I wouldn't ever think of saying, and it was like, oh, my God, you're asking to get yourself killed, and Butch was able to hold it back. But I'm telling you, I think given if that guy had touched Butch, it may have ended a whole lot different. And I remember asking Teddy about that. I said, was Butch ever to the point where you were worried he might hurt somebody? And he just kind of laughed, you know, because he was just playing his role. But I believed every bit of it. And that's what wrestling misses today, is that a lot of people don't believe what they see because either we're not performing it well enough to make them think that way, or it's just so out of it that they can't allow their brain to even believe what they're seeing. It needs to be a little more realistic, and that's, again, we go back to AEW. That's why I love AEW. It's a little more realistic.
Yeah. Storytelling. Storytelling is all that's all that needs to be done in wrestling. Great storytelling and great matches. That, and then you got a successful piece of pie, if you would say. A tasty
piece of pie. In fact, that match that I had with the Good Brothers, that match was actually a year-long storyline. That was the culmination of a year-long storyline. We started it in two different feds before we paid it off in a new fed. So this is the third fed where we carried that story, and we just slowly burned it over a year to where the fans wanted to see those guys get their ass kicked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if my brother Greg was here, he'd say the same thing. We love storytelling, and that's something that the independent wrestling and AEW do the best. You know what I mean? They bring in the storytelling, and they make it come front and center when it's time. You know what I'm saying? When it's time to be accumulated to one last match and one last feud, and it's not like a WWE where you're like, oh, every week they're doing the same feud, and even in the pay-per-view, and the week after they're still doing it when they say that they're done with that storyline and that feud.
Yeah. It's storylines are what wrestling fans really want. I've always said that there are two types of wrestling today. You have storyline wrestling angles, and then you have guys who go out there and just perform moves without a real story. They go out there and they just go out there and see who can do what move and who can do it better. That's not entertaining. I can watch that. A great example of this, and I'll probably catch heat for saying this, but the Young Bucks, I love their matches, but as an old school type of guy, there's a lot of things I have a problem with in those kind of matches, but I have to look at it and appreciate it for today's wrestling. That's where, to me, AEW is winning. They see that there's, there are two different types of people out there for wrestling. Actually, probably more than that. But overall, you've got the people who want to see those storylines, and there are other people who are just about high spots. Oh, wow, you did this triple flip off the thing. But in the end, more times than not, your storyline wrestling is what the fans will remember.
Right. I agree with you. And one more thing that I got to say is there's too many, climaxes, too many finishers done, and then kick. I don't like that.
No. The problem today is that there is no finisher. There are very few finishers today that, or to me, are a real finisher. Kenny Omega's One-Winged Angel is the only finisher I can think of that is still maybe – I don't think he's been beaten – I mean, everybody he's used it on, he's pinned him. Am I correct?
You're right. And he's man, look, talking about Kenny Omega, he's AAA champion 759 days plus. He was Impact champion for 110 days, AEW world champion 346 days. And he's held all them titles in the accumulation of them times, and I agree with you. That's why he's as successful as he is, and he was a former IWGP champion for a long time. So I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of good out there in wrestling. The one thing that I wish didn't happen is that people didn't feel it necessary to pick a side. While I say I don't watch WWE, that could change next week. They could have something to turn on, you know, the TV that makes me start watching again. It's all about the storyline and connecting with the viewer and what is it that they want to see. Right now, there's not a lot that I care for other than the Roman Reigns storyline. I do like that. I think that's been well done. But I think a lot of that has to do with Paul Heyman being behind the scenes and helping execute some of what we're seeing. And he's bringing in that old school tell a story type of feel. And he's perfect for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. Roman Reigns, I've been a Roman Reigns fan since day one. I'm not going to say I haven't been a fan of his. I've been a fan of his since day one. But this is the best Roman Reigns that I've seen since I've watched Roman Reigns. The heel Roman Reigns that they should have put out there. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, you're just about to say the same thing I was about to say. This is the Roman Reigns they should have had out there all along. This is the real Roman Reigns, and that's why he's doing so well. It's because this is really more closer to the character he wants to be, and he's natural and feels natural in that position. And that's what they needed to do. You know, the fans told them that forever and a day, that that's what they wanted. But, you know, for whatever reason, the WWE didn't want to pull the trigger. And then when they finally did, think about how much money they could have made if they pulled the trigger earlier.
100%. I agree with that. It's just like when John Cena wanted to turn heel earlier this year. And, you know, if they would have pulled the trigger on that before he retired, you know, well, he's not retired. But imagine if when him and Roman went at it, if it was both of them as heels. I know wrestling's supposed to be good guy versus bad guy, but imagine if they would have had that match as both of them as heels. I would have loved to see that.
Yeah, I think that there are situations where a heel can verse a heel. I'm okay with those kind of matches. What I'm not good with most times really is face versus – or a good guy versus a good guy. Because
right.
You don't want to hate either one. But when it comes to the heels, you know, you can find a heel that you like more than the other heel for whatever reason. So there's always that possibility. And it makes for an entertaining match, to be honest, sometimes when you see a heel versus a heel. But there's not many guys out there anymore that I can consider a heel. Not a true heel like it was in the old days. MJF, probably one of the closest to being one of the old school heels. He lives and breathes it, so he never turns it off.
Yeah.
And there's not many guys who are willing to do that, because what it means as a heel, or what it should mean as a heel, is that you're not there to sell T-shirts, because if a real heel wouldn't sell a T-shirt. A good heel wouldn't take pictures
right.
with the fans. A good heel wouldn't, get up and say, oh, coochie-coo to a little baby after a show. Heels were heels, and you didn't see them because they didn't like fans, and they would spit at you and everything else when I was young. Now, they go out there and they glad hand and get their pictures made, sell merchandise, and I think that kills the persona. There's other ways for heels to make money in T-shirts. They just need, to be like Dusty Sucks Eggs, things like that. You know, you can say things as a heel, get away with it, sell the T-shirts, which in reality is actually Dusty's T-shirt, not the other person's T-shirt. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just that there are ways to get around that, but a lot of guys look at it as their merch and they can't sell. But on the other hand, in independent wrestling, I have found since we've been with IWN, Teddy and I, it's difficult to find a face in the business. Everybody wants to be the bad guy. And so to me, that's something that I'm having a little bit of frustration with, because you can't find enough of the heroes that you used to have, because the fans kind of turned away from them for a while, and so everybody wanted to be, the bad guy. And we're missing what I think a lot of great faces, great good guys to work with.
It's like wrestling back in the day when kayfabe was still a thing before the curtain call. You didn't know that the bad guy and the good guy hung out on the road, and you wouldn't
Not
see that
all.
Going into the arena. You wouldn't see that going into the arena. You would be like, man, they're really fighting. They're not friends for real. They're really going at it. Now it's like you see all of them together. You see them hanging out. You social media to me kind of ruined wrestling.
It did. I'm a firm believer that that helped ruin wrestling because the kayfabe took all the mystery out of what it was. And you know, and I go back to the type of fans that I remember as I grew up. And again, now I'm almost 60 years old.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, I'm a lot older than I may look, but I remember the fans in the stands. They were smoking. The arena was smoky. They sold beer. People were yelling and screaming. They believed what they were seeing, or they allowed themselves to believe what they were seeing. And the atmosphere was completely different. If you go back and watch some of the old NWA tapes, let's say Harley Race and Ric Flair or something like that, watch the fans. They're completely different than today's fans. And as far as looking real back then versus now, they were a lot stiffer back in those days. Because when you work close to the fans like we do, if you don't lay those punches or forearms, whatever, in, people know. And once they see you do that one time, you're finished. If you throw a punch and it doesn't connect and the guy goes down like he got knocked over by a Mack truck, well, it doesn't work to the fans. Now they're laughing because that wind knocked him over. So in those days, they protected the business. And today, because it's known that it's not, what we thought it was, fans don't need to see those harder punches. You know, they don't need to see the blood because they get it. Okay, yeah, just have a good match. I still think that I'd rather see him be a little stiff in the ring and a little more Japan style, strong style. You know, to me, that makes a more entertaining product.
Right. So we're running out of time, Mr. Mack. Is there anything else you want to promote or let these fans know where they can reach you at? Because I'm for sure going to reach out to you after the show or maybe tomorrow so we can talk a little more and maybe have you back on or we'll work something out and, anything else.
I'll just say that we'd love for you to stop by IWNWrestling.com or find IWN Explosion on Facebook. That's the Facebook location. And for me, you can go to social media at Mad Mack Davis and Pro Wrestling Tees the same way, Mad Mack Davis.
Okay. And like I said, I'll be reaching out to you, brother, and I appreciate you taking your time out of your day and actually hanging up with Teddy Long to come on to the show. Because Teddy Long, man, I love Teddy Long. Like you said, he's been in the business a long time. He's a former guest of the show. So maybe one day we'll have both of you guys back on the show. And like I said, I'll be talking to you soon, and hopefully we can work some stuff out.
Sounds good. I had a great time, guys. Appreciate it.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you for
Brother
coming
Mack.
On, Mr. Mack.
You bet.
Take care of yourself. God bless you.
Thank you. You do the same, Coco.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys, that was Mr. Mack Davis from the IWN Independent Wrestling Network. Like you said, check them out at the IWN Explosion on Facebook, IWNNetwork.com, and Mr. Mack Davis on Facebook and Instagram and everywhere else you can find social media. But, man, what a great guy. And Coco, man, you're going to get a big break, hopefully, man.
Oh, man, don't get me excited. Don't threaten me with a good time, Daddy. As much as I love pro wrestlers, for any of them to say or suggest that they'd like to welcome me into this fraternity, oh, it's an honor and a privilege. Just flirting with the idea, Daddy, is enough for me. That's like Nia Jax coming my way, giving me a wink and saying,
don't say that too loud. Don't say that too loud.
Right. Okay.
You might not make it to IWN or to Texas. Don't do that.
You're right. I might not even make it the next Saturday. So let me be careful. As I was saying, it's like Nia Jax coming across and saying, "Hey, why don't you and I sit down and have a little coffee and some tea and some cuppers and whatnot?" I mean, brother, you talk about being over the hill, head over heels, even.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
It's an honor.
So, man, Coco, I got to ask you. Are we ready to head to Texas and to Georgia for the top dog pound wrestling in the IWN? Because I'm certainly ready. I'm going to tell the wife we're going to have to make a trip or two.
Oh, brother, we got to figure it out and make it work, Daddy. I mean, get the whole band and they book us and we do a couple shows here and there and just do the thing, you know what I'm saying, and kick booty, you know what I'm saying, real good. Real good. Play some good live music, maybe for the wrestling talent, or maybe do a little intermission show or pre-show or whatever.
Yeah.
Or maybe just showing up, baby, and just sitting there watching some great wrestling because I'm a sucker for great wrestling, you know what I'm saying? So I love to see and hear something new and different like that, brother. I mean, hey, anything is possible. You know how it go. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible for sure, and that is for sure. And hopefully, maybe one day we'll be working for them as a podcast.
Oh,
who
man.
Knows?
Who knows? Anything can happen. That's right. Anything can happen.
And that's
is possible.
That's why we say we are Rated R, and anything can happen on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313.
Yes, sir. Anything. Hey, Brother Matez, are you still there with him, or did he disappear off to his office working hard like he's usually doing?
He's working hard, you know that.
Oh, man. As usual.
So, talking about Brother Matez, stay tuned at 10:15 tonight on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. We got Russell talking to D with my brother Montez, so make sure you tune into that because that's always an entertaining show. And we love to talk wrestling, and it's gonna be hard. And hey, it's from the D. So why miss? Only on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. And next week on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, it's gonna be a special day. It's not gonna be on your usual Thursday. So next week on the 23rd, on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, we have Impact Wrestler and Michigan's own Sam Beal will be in the building for the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313.
Oh, snap. That sounds like some money right there. That is going to be a hot show, and bet not nobody miss it. Don't you fall asleep because we're going to give you a rude awakening, you know what I'm saying?
And like the theme song said, all we see is the money. You can call this pay-per-view the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. That's what we do. Let me introduce Greg DeMarco Martez Zale and now Coco. We them dudes.
Yes, sir. We them dudes. We them ones and the twos. Oh, the black man got bars, Daddy. Oh, I got bars.
No.
It's an outrage.
Yes, sir!
So make sure everybody you tune in next week for another episode, a special episode, a Thanksgiving week episode of the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Hopefully our brother Greg will be back next week, but if not, brother Greg, we love you. We wish you were here tonight because we had a hell of a night. But next week, we'll see you guys. We love you guys. Talk to you next week from your boy, the Southwest Texan Day-Day Cruz, my brother Coco Team, my brother Martez. And we'll see you next week.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Non-stop action, interesting. We got that. The Southwest Texan, Day-Day Cruz. Yeah. Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Non-stop action, interesting. We got that. The Southwest Texan. They cruise, Greg, DeMarco, Martez, they them dudes.